Well, here we are again. It's your brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our study today, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going back into our study of the soul, or a soul, and it's our fifth study in the letter S in the ABCs of Christian Growth series. It's study number 19D, and we're talking about the soul and what the Bible teaches us concerning the soul. We've been over several things as far as preliminary studies and definitions and some descriptions that the world says that a soul is or is not, or that it doesn't even exist, or it's an inanimate object, or that it's brain activity, or all sorts of business and all sorts of things, whatever you can drum up and whatever you can dream up, and whatever makes man able to stand himself and be able to make excuses for living in the flesh and all sorts of business such as that. But for a Christian to find out something, he goes to the Word of God, and he studies the Word of God to see what the Word of God says concerning it. And that's exactly what we're doing today and doing in this study. We have gone to the Word of God in our last, last class, put it that way. And we started talking about Bible descriptions of the soul. How does the Bible describe the soul? And the first thing that we went over was that a man's soul is alive and it lives. If you know anything about, and people talk about life and they talk about living all the time. You hear that conversation in humanity everywhere about everything all the time. Everybody's always talking about being alive and talking about living. There's always something having to do with those two things, being alive and living. Well, the Bible says whatever being alive is and whatever living is, a man's soul is indeed that. It is alive and it lives. Now, we know what that means. We know that it's only something that God can do. The Bible declares that God brought man to life and God brought man's soul to life. It said man became a living soul. And we went over that. And we went over lots of scripture concerning that and actually read the scriptures. And we see where God's Word teaches us that the first description of a soul is that a man's soul is alive and that it lives. So let's go ahead and begin our study for today and carry on with the second thing, which is a description of the soul from the Word of God, and that is that a soul is in a person's body. A soul is in a person's body. Now, some people say it's in his brain. Some people say it's a peanut. Some people say it's inanimate. Some people say that trees have it. Some people say that chickens have it. Some people say that donkeys have it, have souls, and all sorts of business. According to the Word of God, we're talking about a man's soul. A man's soul is in his body. All right, let's read some scripture and see if that's what the Bible teaches us. In Genesis chapter 46 and verse 15, the Bible says, "These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padanaram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. Now, it's talking about Leah bearing children. Now, you don't bear souls, you bear bodies of children. Bodies of the children come out of the mother. When Leah was bearing those children unto Jacob, she was bearing actual children, bodies. All right? But it says that all the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. Well, she bore those children, and then the Bible turns around and says, all of the souls of his sons and his daughters. So those souls of those sons and those daughters or inside of those bodies that she bore to Jacob. You see that thing? These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 30 and 3. I remind you that whenever we were talking on a couple studies ago, and we were talking about souls, that something interesting even today, that they say, well, that's just Bible stuff. No. It's still updated language that people use concerning a soul of a human being. When we remember we was talking about the airlines, and when the airlines have a emergency while they're in flight and things like that, and they start talking to the people on the ground, the air traffic controllers, and they establish an emergency mayday or something like that, or pan, or whatever it is that they, how they do their thing, and they say that this is indeed an emergency, we need to get on the ground as quick as we can. Well, they start taking down emergency details about the airplane in the air traffic controller tower, and one of the questions he asks is, how many souls do you have aboard? And he asks, how much fuel do you have aboard? And that's to relay that information over to the emergency crews that are going to be waiting for that plane when they come in for landing. And one of the things that they ask is, how many souls do you have aboard? They don't ask, how many bodies do you have aboard? Isn't that interesting? They ask, how many souls do you have aboard? Now, a soul, you cannot see a soul. A soul is invisible. It's inside of a person's body. Isn't that interesting that they ask, how many souls do you have aboard, instead of how many bodies do you have aboard? You see, it's updated language. It's something that people know to be true, that souls live inside of a person's body. The Bible says in Genesis that God made man out of the dust of the ground and formed him. So God formed a man with arms and legs and a head and a thorax with his body and all these parts. I'm not going to try to act like I know parts of the body and stuff like that, but the legs and the arms and the chest and all the other parts of him. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. Job said it was out of clay, which is dust of the ground. He formed him. And then it said God breathed into his nostrils, into that formed man out of the dust of the ground, and man became a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils. God's breath went into that man's nostrils, inside that clay-formed man, and he became a living soul inside of that body. You see that thing? I mean, it don't get any plainer. God's Word laid it out word by word. All we got to do is believe it. And that's exactly what it is and what man is. A soul is in a person's body. We read that about Leah here, talking about the souls and sons that she bore. And he called it, all the souls of his sons and his daughters were 30 and 3. All right, that's not all. In Joshua, the Bible says in verse 23 and verse 14, and behold, this day I am going all the way of the earth. And you know, in all your hearts and in all your souls. Now, he's not standing there talking to an invisible soul. He's talking to his sons and talking to the people. Oh, he's talking to the people, yeah. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls. He's not talking to the actual souls standing there. He's talking to the bodies. But he said, in all your souls. All of you, all of y'all that are in those bodies, all of your souls, you know in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua encouraging them to keep following the Lord and to do what God says and to believe God and to trust Him. But he said, And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls. Joshua said all them people had souls inside of them. In all your souls. That's not all. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 21 and 22. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, get this now, listen. It don't get any plainer than this, brothers and sisters. O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Well, if it comes into him, we know where he's asking for the soul to end up, inside that dead child's body right there that he was talking about. Okay, well, if it's coming back, it said, let this child's soul come into him again. Well, the only way that that child's soul can come into him again is if it was once there before. You see that thing? It don't get any plainer than that, not unless you want to get highly educated and make it complicated and blabbity blabbity blab and all that sort of business. But just believing God's word, it's very simple, isn't it? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child so come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Why did he revive? Because God breathed into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living soul. And that's what kept his body alive. When this child's soul left him, his body died. When Elijah prayed and asked God to let the soul come back into him, he revived. His body revived because his soul was back in him. You see that thing? Isn't that neat? And what I love about God's word is that the more we read it, the more the verses nail down every other verse. Scripture with scripture. And that's exactly the way you're supposed to read God's word, comparing scripture with scripture. And God, the Holy Ghost, makes it very clear to us. A soul is in a person's body. What else? Well, Job chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible says, but his flesh upon him shall have pain. His flesh upon him. Job's speaking as if a person is wearing his flesh. But his flesh upon him shall have pain. And get this. And his soul within him shall mourn. Does it get any plainer than that, brothers and sisters? We're talking about descriptions of a soul. Bible descriptions of a soul. One of them is that a man's soul is alive and lives. We know that, have read that, see God's word verifying that, and we believe it. Another thing is that a soul is in a person's body. Your soul is in your body, back behind your eyeballs. You. It's you. Your being. You are a human being. You see that thing? Here's another one. Psalm chapter 42, verse 4, 6, and 11. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude that kept holy day. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Verse 11. Why art thou so cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me. He said three times that his soul is in him. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The psalmist. Another one in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. A man's soul is in a person's body. One description that the Bible teaches about a soul is that it is inside of a person's body. Here's another one. Psalm 107, verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Here's another one. Jonah, chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto him, into thine holy temple. Jonah said it, that his soul is within him, inside of him. Here's one in Luke, or Habakkuk. Here's one in Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk says that his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He said that soul is in that person. Isn't that interesting? And look at all the different writers. Jonah, the writers of the Psalms, Job, Moses, when he was writing in Genesis, Joshua, and in Kings. Here's some more. Luke chapter 21. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 19. A man's soul, a soul is in a person's body. Luke chapter 21, verse 19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Possess ye your souls. A soul is inside of a person's body. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Of course, this is talking about the Apostle Paul and talking in the book of Acts. And it went about confirming the souls of the disciples. Confirming the souls of the disciples that were within them. Acts chapter 15, verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. He said, these false prophets, these false preachers going around, were telling people that they needed to be circumcised and keep the law. This is during the transformation from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the book of Acts, where salvation is changing. And it's becoming the Pauline epistles, the gospel of the grace of God. And he's confirming the souls, went about confirming the souls, trying to nail down what to believe. And he said, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. He said that these people that are preaching the wrong thing to the brothers and sisters is affecting their souls inside of them. Saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Brothers and sisters, a person's soul is within them. It's in their body. Your soul is in your body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Now, them people didn't see their souls whenever they approached them and they were talking with them, and they seen their bodies, heard their voices. But it said that they imparted not only the gospel unto them, only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. He's speaking of two different parts of themselves. The ones that actually spoke to them, their bodies and their voices, but also another part of them, their own souls. Your soul is inside of your body. That is a description of a soul, a scriptural, biblical description of a soul, is that your soul resides and is located inside your body. It's not a peanut. It's not a brain activity. It's not up in your left finger or down in your right big toe. Your soul is shaped like your body and is invisible and resides inside your body. And if you're born again, it has been cut loose, circumcised, spiritually circumcised from your flesh. It's inside your body, but it's no longer attached to your body. It's in there. And your spirit has been quickened and made alive again. And God, the Holy Ghost, dwells in your spirit and in your soul. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Listen to this. For they watch for your souls. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You see, the difference in what we was talking about in those preliminary studies where the soul was spoken of synonymously with the body. Well, here you can see the difference. Obey them that have the rule over you. He's talking to the people. And submit yourselves, your bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. For they watch for your souls. You see, your soul's no longer part of your body. It's a different entity. It still resides in there, but your soul is saved. And it's righteous, and it's on its way to heaven. It has Jesus' righteousness on it. And you are forgiven all your trespasses, and your spirit has been quickened, and your soul is on its way to heaven. Your body is on its way to the grave, unless the Lord comes, or either you die and go to be with Him. At the rapture, the Lord's going to change that vile body. But right now, your body is still considered vile and sinful. That's why He said for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice and crucify it and nail it to the cross every day and its affections thereof. Anything that flesh wants, your being is supposed to resist it and battle with it and fight it. And you will have that battle if you're going, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it said that you're going to suffer. Why? Because you're going to constantly be battling with that flesh, because that flesh is not saved yet. It's going to be saved. It's going to be completely cleansed. That's when you're completely glorified and your salvation is completely complete during glorification, when the Lord glorifies your body and gives you a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. But until then, your soul resides in that body and you live in that body. and you are covered with that flesh. You see that thing? Very simple, very understandable, and absolute truth. That's what the Bible teaches. How about this one? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Of course, this is in the future, where during the tribulation, and the people that are dying during the tribulation are being slain. Well, wait a minute. How can a soul be up in heaven and this man see this angel, this fifth seal being opened? And he said he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Unless the souls and the bodies are two different things. You see, those souls are no longer in those bodies. Those bodies are dead. They have been slain. The Antichrist killed them and slew them. But the souls are up in heaven under the altar. And if you read on, you can find out that God told them, the souls cried out to the Lord and said, "When are you going to avenge us?" And the Lord told him, just be patient. He said, your brothers and sisters have to be slain like you are. And we're going to get them sooner or later. He said, but right now, rest. And he said, he made an order for them to be clothed in white raiment. So a soul can wear clothes because God ordered them to give them to them, the souls that were under the altar. But those souls were at one time in those bodies that were slain. A soul resides inside of the body. That is a description of a soul, is that it resides, or a soul is in a person's body. Amen. This stuff don't get any simpler than that. God's word is so perfect. Your soul is in your body. I don't know what you've learned or what you thought before we got into this study, but do you see anything else that could possibly be being taught by the Bible right now concerning a soul and where it is, concerning where it resides? Anything else? No. Souls, according to the Word of God, are in a person's body. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Remember, we just talked about that. That your body is not saved. Your soul is saved. And your body is always lusting after something. That's all it wants, is what it wants. And it wars against your soul. Your soul is a different entity than your body. It resides in there, but it's no longer part of your flesh. Your soul is saved. Your body is not. Your body is sinful. Your body lusts. It wants what it wants. It wants ungodliness and unrighteousness and fleshly lusts and the things of this world and the lust of the eyes and the lust and the pride of life. Those sorts of things. But your soul doesn't. Your soul is like Paul speaks in Romans. He said, that which I would, I do not. But that which I do not, that I would not, that I do. So I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Two different things about you now. You are really schizo. You're a schizo. You got two different parts of you that are warring against each other. But you are your soul, your being. Saved, on your way to heaven, righteous before God, and holy, because of Jesus' righteousness. that's been placed on us. Imputation. And your body's not. But you are still in your body. Go look in the mirror and see if it's true. Are you in your body? Yes, you are. Your soul lives in your body. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18 says, "And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth." Very clear, body and soul spoken of as two different things. And that's what brings us to our next point, having to do with descriptions of a soul. Biblical descriptions of a soul. First thing is that a man's soul is alive and lives. The second thing that we've found out that the Bible describes a soul as is that a soul is in a person's body. And the third thing is, having to do with descriptions of a soul, is that a soul can be distinguished from its body. And we found that out in our preliminary study, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see how this stuff comes about and we need to have it in our minds and our hearts that I was telling you about? Yeah. So that's it. So we know what it's talking about. A soul can be distinguished from its body because Old Testament salvation and Old Testament soul and body are not the same as New Testament soul and body. As far as where they reside and the things that are going on having to do with salvation and the parts of salvation. And I just read that to you, but let me read this one to you. A soul can be distinguished from its body. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Two different things he's talking about there. The flesh and the soul. Two different things. The Bible teaches us that a description of a soul is one description of a soul is that a soul can be distinguished from its body. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing," of course we know this is talking about Lot, "vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Two different things. He said he was a righteous man dwelling among them, talking about him living in Sodom and Gomorrah and how it affected him. And for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Watching them and their behavior and how they went about life and all the ungodly things vexed Lot's soul. But two different things he's talking about there. The soul can be distinguished from its body. Now, I read Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17 and 18 just a minute ago, and that's what brought us into this part of the study. The soul can be distinguished from its body. "And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth." Fainteth. So we see three things so far concerning descriptions of a soul. What are they? Well, a man's soul is alive and it lives. The Bible's taught us that. A soul is in a person's body. We have seen that. And we've not seen any other thing about a soul being in a tree or a soul being brain activity. A soul is inside of a person's body. It is a person's being. And the third thing is that we have learned is that a soul can be distinguished from its body. It can be distinguished from its body. Go look in the mirror and look at yourself. They say the eyes are the gateway to the what? To the soul. And you look, go in there and stare, get your face right up on that mirror and look dead into your eyeball, and you're looking at your soul. You're looking in there. A soul can be distinguished from its body, and the Bible's shown us that. It separates them. It shows two different things, even though they be one. Remember, man is tripartite. He's three in one. Okay, well, let's look at another one. Here's another one. What else is a distinction, a description of the soul? Well, here's number four. A soul can be affected by the body it is in. Now, don't we know that? A soul can be affected by the body it is in. We just got through reading about Lot being vexed, and it vexed his righteous soul. But here's one, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and watch the result, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Did you get that? You're not beating his soul. You're beating his body. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. A soul can be affected by the body it is in. And it's called, part of it, right here in this scripture, correction. You correct the body and it affects the soul. Yeah. The old timers didn't have a problem with that. And it should still be going on because, number one, it's commanded. And God tells us these things so that we can save our children alive and help them along and do what's right for them and help them along. But he said he's not going to. It says the blueness of a wound. Where's a wound? You ever seen a soul that's wounded? Have you ever seen it with your eyes? Have you ever seen a bruise on a soul? No. You see bruises on a body. The Bible says the blueness of a wound cleanseth the soul. Isn't that interesting? The Bible teaches us that a soul can be affected by the body that it's in. By the body that it's in. You see people that have life-threatening diseases, and the things where their bodies are suffering. Job talked about his soul all the time during his time in that body when he went through what he went through. He talked about his soul quite a bit and how his body was affecting his soul. A soul can be affected by the body it's in. What are we talking about? We're talking about descriptions of a soul. What are we studying? We're studying about the soul and what the Bible says concerning a soul. A soul can be affected by the body that it's in. And that's not all. Here's one more. A soul can be outside of a body, and that's called disembodied, in heaven, speak to the Lord, wear a white robe, and rest. We read a little bit of that a while ago and some evidence of that. Let me read that to you again. We're talking about descriptions of a soul. What does the Bible teach us? That a soul can be outside of a body, disembodied. In heaven, speak to the Lord. A soul can speak to the Lord and wear a white robe, and a soul can rest. Let's read what the Bible tells us. The Apostle Paul, for instance, is the first one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 7, we've read this before, but listen to it. Talking about a soul can be outside of the body and disembodied. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, he's talking about himself. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He said, he knew that he was caught up to the third heaven. He knew that that was him. He knew that he looked like himself. He was in the form of his body, but he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or not, for sure. He said, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So there you go. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now he's talking about his body again. He said, of such a one will I glory. The person that was outside of his body, that went to heaven and heard unspeakable words that which is not lawful for a man to utter. And so such an one will I glory. Talking about him being his soul. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He's talking about being in his body. His body is his infirmary. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, when they look at him in his body, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, what God has shown me, and what I have had the privilege of going through, and that is leaving my body and going to paradise and seeing these things, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure while he was in his body. You see that thing? What are we talking about? That a soul can be outside of the body, disembodied. It can be in heaven. It can speak to the Lord, wear a white robe, and rest. You say, well, where'd you get that stuff about the white robe and about being in heaven and wearing a robe and rest? Well, what we was talking about a while ago, not only Paul said that he was outside of his body, but it was for... Now, get this stuff when we're talking about this, not this bunch of nonsense that's going on in the world today about people talking about they've been outside their body and they went on these field trips and stuff like that and went and burn in hell and come back to tell us how hot it was and stuff like that. Listen to me. If you've been in heaven, if you've been to hell, Paul said he went to heaven. And I believe him because that's what our Bible teaches. He said he went to heaven. And the only thing he had to comment about it was that I can't comment about it. I can't tell you about it. It's undescribable. I can't put it in words. That's all he had to say about it. And then he said, I'm not going to walk around bragging about it because I don't want nobody to think I'm something special whenever it's God that needs to get the glory. He said, if I'm going to glory in anything, I'll glory about my suffering in the flesh. I'll glory about all this stuff I'm going through. And he talks about that in another chapter, about all the things, the distress and the suffering and the hunger and the nakedness and all that sort of stuff that he goes through in the flesh, his soul being in the flesh, him being in his flesh and the things he suffers. But he said, as far as talking about my trip to heaven and my soul being up there, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said, God knoweth. He wasn't in his body. His body was under a pile of rocks down there on the earth, where they just stoned him. And then when he got back in there, he come up out of the rocks, back alive, and walked in the same city and started preaching again. Don't you know that shocked a whole bunch of folks? They just stoned him to death and thought he was dead and went back in the city. And then he comes back and gets his body. And he's just had a trip to heaven. And the Lord sends him back into his body. And he stands up after being stoned to death and all the wounds that are on his body, and he walks right back in the city and starts preaching again. He said, "That's what I'm going to glory about." Oh, Paul, boy, he's something. But then talking about a soul can be outside the body, it can be disembodied. We're talking about descriptions of the soul and the way the Bible describes it. It can be in heaven. Paul said he was in paradise. That's where heaven is. Paradise is in heaven. Well, in the New Testament, paradise is in heaven. It is heaven. In the Old Testament, paradise is across a gulf in the earth, across from hell. Because the Old Testament saints had not, their sins had not been taken away, and that's a whole nother study. And that's what Jesus done after he resurrected during the 3 days and nights. He went down there and got them people and took them to heaven because their sins were taken away now. They weren't just forgiven. They were taken away, extinguished, gone. And now they could go to heaven. So you see, a soul can be outside of the body, disembodied. It can be in heaven. It can also speak to the Lord, wear a white robe, and rest. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls. There's your part about being in heaven. And of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay, there's that part right there. Now let's read Revelation 20 and verse 4. And it says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. That's what we just got through reading. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus up in heaven and for the word of God. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and in their hands, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Of course, that's John. John said that he was caught up to heaven. It doesn't say that he was disembodied. It said he was in the Spirit. Don't know exactly what that means. But he didn't say that he wasn't disembodied like Paul, but Paul said it very plainly. And these martyrs, I didn't have the scripture down here, but in Revelation chapter 6, it also talks about the conversation that I was describing earlier about these souls that were under the altar, and they asked the Lord, when are you going to avenge us? And talking about the white robes and to rest, that was how the Lord answered them, and you can read that right after Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. It's in there. I just didn't put it in the study. I don't know why, but they actually have a conversation with the Lord. These souls that are up there under the altar can speak to the Lord. And the Lord told them to rest until their brothers and sisters down on earth are killed like they were, beheaded. And when that's finished, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of business then. He said, but until then, rest. And here are some white robes. They were given white robes to put on. So a soul can be outside of the body, disembodied, in heaven, speak to the Lord, and wear a white robe, and it can rest. We're talking about descriptions of the soul, or of a soul. Isn't that neat? Did you know them things? That's what the Bible's teaching. Brother Thurman ain't sitting here telling you that I'm the one making this up, because I'm not. All I'm doing is reading the scriptures to you. And that's all we need read to us, is what saith the Lord. And that's what we do in these studies, is that we find out what the Bible says. And there's no confusion about these things. Is there anything confusing about you, what we've been over so far concerning a description of the soul? Have you had any confusion in our lessons concerning the first thing? A man's soul is alive and it lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible teaches that? Of course we do. We've read it. All right, what about a soul is in a person's body? Does it look like, and is it evident that the Bible teaches us that a person's soul is inside of his body? Yes, it does. Well, what about this one? A soul can be distinguished from its body. Did we see Scripture that taught us that? Yes, we did. Okay, well, what about a soul that a soul can be affected by its body it is in? Well, we not only know that personally, but we did read that in the Scripture, in Proverbs. Withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And it says the blueness of a wound cleanseth the soul. The Bible teaches us that a soul can be affected by the body that it's in. And we know that. We know that our soul, we talk about our soul being sick, and we're sick whenever we get a real bad case of the flu or pneumonia or something like that, to where we're so sick that our body is just so weak, and it's just, it's like it's controlling us. Well, it does affect our souls, doesn't it? And the fifth thing is that a soul can be outside of its body, disembodied. It can be in heaven, it can speak to the Lord, and wear a white robe, and it can rest. We've seen that spoken in the Scriptures literally, about literal souls, literally in heaven, literally be given white robes to wear, and literally told to rest. Now, if these things aren't true, then the Bible's a lie. And God is lying to us, and God is a liar, and we know better than that. All of these things are true. Well, we have more to go over, talking about descriptions of a soul. What have we talked about so far? Well, the first thing that we're going into proper concerning studying about the study that we're on, the soul, is Bible descriptions of a soul. A man's soul is alive, and it lives. A soul is in a person's body. The third thing is that a soul can be distinguished from its body. The fourth is that a soul can be affected by the body that it is in. And the fifth, we see a soul can be outside of his body or disembodied, in heaven, speak to the Lord, and wear a white robe and rest. And there are more that we're going to go over. We're going to go over more. But not in this one. We're going to stop right there, my brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord for teaching us clearly and making things very clear and understandable for us. This is what we believe. We believe because this is what God teaches us. Isn't that interesting? Isn't a soul interesting? As we get into this, you're going to find out there's a lot to a soul, and God describes a whole lot of things about the soul, and we're going to go over them. So let me give you the Scriptures for today. Are you ready? All right, here they are. Genesis chapter 46, verse 15. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21 and 22. Job chapter 14, verse 22. Psalms chapter 42, verse 4, 6, and 11, Psalm chapter 103, verse 1, Psalms chapter 107, verse 5, Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Luke chapter 21, verse 19, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Acts chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And let's see, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 and 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 7, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, and the last one for today is Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, along with Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And those are our scriptures for today. You say, there sure is a lot of them. Yes, there is, and there should be. Can't go wrong by having all of these scriptures. And guess what? The things that we've been going over concerning the description of a soul, every one of these verses that we have read have been in unison, scripture with scripture. None of them contradicted anything else that we read. When we read five of the scriptures, we read 10 of them. All 10 of them matched. All 10 of them told the same story, told the same truth. Told us the truth about a soul and the description of a soul over the points that we were making. The 5 points that we've been over. Well, I think it's 3 of them today, but out of all 5 of them, all the scriptures that we've been over have all been pure. They've been simple. They've been understandable. And they've all bore witness of the others. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. And when we come back on the next one, and I know you will, and study some more about this, we're going to talk about a soul possesses immortality and leaves the body at death. It cannot be killed by a man. That's going to be our next point. And we're going to look at the scriptures and see how the Bible teaches us that. Amen? All right. Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I love you with Christ love. This is not entertainment. This is learning the Bible and learning what God's Word says. And that's why it makes it good to us. Amen. All right. Well, I'll talk to you on the next one. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.